Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
The amendment on 777.
No, now you vote on the whole. On 7,
now we
vote on 776.
776. Okay. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Good work, Vicki, and also good work to the Portland Streetcar Loop Committee or Business Committee that has worked with the businesses over there to bring them on board for this important project. Aye.
Stan?
Well, good job, Commissioner Adams and Vicki, and forward movement. Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Now a motion to amend 777.
Now, amendment to item 777.
Do we have that in writing?
Yeah. Yeah, just handed it out.
Oh, you did?
Sorry.
Okay.
I'll move the amendment.
Got it.
Is there a second?
Say second. Sorry. I'm distracted by
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 778.
Well, first, now you want to vote on it as
oh,
amended.
Excuse me. You're right. Please call the vote on the...
Adams?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read 778.
778. Authorize an agreement with Portland Streetcar, Inc. for economic impact analysis services related to the Portland Streetcar Loop Project.
Mr. Adams?
You had the presentation on all of these, so you can just vote on those now.
Well, I do have some questions on it.
Which one? 778.
778, yes.
Okay.
Will you be able to answer them, or should it has to do with the economic impact analysis.
I wanted to try me out, and if not, we'll bring up somebody else.
The and I've expressed the this concern before is to you, Commissioner, is that concern about Fairless Square and its impact on the amount of subsidies that we pay for the streetcar,
mm-hmm.
and that I want to have some assurance that there is going to be some enforcement of the Fairless Square. Not the Fairless Square, but once the streetcar leaves Fairless Square, that they will enforce that, because I think that bears directly on the fact that, and I think the subsidy this year was like $1.6 million for the west side.
Right.
And this is a much larger one, and I just want to make sure that we are doing that. And then secondly, are there other issues in terms of how the streetcar is going to be run on the east side that would go towards reducing the amount of subsidy that the city would provide?
The issues before us today all have to do with the capital side of bringing this streetcar to fruition. We're in the process right now. We have our regular meeting tomorrow to talk about operations, and those two topics will be part of our discussion on operations. And you have my assurance that fair enforcement, now that we will have, I think we will be more than doubling the amount of trackage outside of Fairless Square, that the enforcement will be a key part of what we discuss and we'll bring back to a plan for consideration.
Thank you. Other questions? Please call the vote.
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I just want to say in an earlier motion, I thanked the business people on the east side for their putting together this LID proposal. So since Hank Ashworth is here, I just want to let him know that we appreciate the work you did. Aye.
Stan?
I agree. Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 779.
Amend intergovernmental agreement with Metro to modify the scope of work and provide additional resources for the local match required for Metro's contribution to the Portland Streetcar Loop Project.
Discussion. Is anybody signed to testify on this one?
We had one set out for all the streetcar.
Okay. Anybody here who wished to testify on this matter? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank Rick Gustafson, who's in and out of the door there, for his continuing hard work. I already acknowledged Vicki. I want to thank Greg Jones for in PDOT for all the unglamorous work of trying to crunch, make all the numbers work, working with Vicky. And Hank, you've been thanked in absentia. I want to add to that. This has been heavy lifting. This has been a lot of work. And you have a national company to run. And I'm just very grateful. I know the entire council is very grateful for your focus on this. Thank you very much. I know we couldn't have done it without you. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Thank you, folks.
That's the shortest presentation you've ever had to give, Hank, isn't it?
Is everybody here for the 10:45? Can we begin 5 minutes early if everybody is here?
If you suspend the rules.
Pardon?
Suspend the rules.
You'd have to suspend the rules.
I'll move to suspend the rules.
Second.
Okay. Call a vote.
You'll need four people to do that.
He's in the back of the room. Just get him.
Okay.
Adams?
Aye. Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Okay.
Okay.
Just 1 minute. Okay. Item 741, amend an intergovernmental agreement with the Port of Portland and related to the Portland International Airport and increase allowable compensation up to $819,804 to reimburse the city for costs related to a 34-month joint city and port planning process titled Airport Futures.
This item is back before council after the June 6th hearing in which council made amendments on June 13th. Council was asked to postpone our final vote to allow the Port Commission additional time to review and respond to the council's actions. I understand the port is prepared today to share their response to council's changes, and so I am bringing forth for the purposes of discussing the port's proposed amendment.
So you're moving.
So I'm moving.
And I have a really quick amendment. Is it too early to do that?
Do you want to describe what you're moving?
That this be brought back before council for additional discussion with the port and vote.
Is it a substantive? Are you actually moving a substantive change to what we passed last time?
You're adding three.
Adding
the three governmental. Counties. Representatives from the three county governments.
Clackamas, Washington, and Multnomah.
Right,
and but I think it'd be useful to describe to the citizens what the council's moving.
Is there someone here that can do that in more detail?
Why don't we have it moved and then second, and then we can have it up for discussion. I think that's what the intent was, is to bring it forward for discussion.
Okay.
Second.
Call the vote.
Well, maybe we should have testimony.
Do I have testimony first?
Yeah, let's have testimony first, and then we can have the explanation.
And if I could offer a simple amendment, and if this is not the right time, then just consider this a food for thought, that to change the documents so that if there are any vacancies, that they're filled in accordance with the original procedure we used to establish the committee. And my understanding is all sides agree to that. So if there is such a thing as a friendly amendment, I would hope that would be one.
Friendly, I'll second it. And I'll turn the gavel back over to you and for testimony.
Could the port officials please come forward?
Mayor, members of the council, I'm Bill Wyatt, Executive Director of the Port of Portland. Our address is 121 Northwest Everett Street here in Portland, for now, at least. I guess I just want to, provide my support for the alternative that you've introduced, along with Commissioner Adams' proposed amendment, which we don't have any concerns about. I think that's very appropriate. Just a couple of brief comments. First, we're anxious to get on with this process. I think it's safe to say that this is probably the most important piece of physical infrastructure in our region. Its future is of great concern to, I think, most people in our region, certainly tremendous concern to us. We're charged with the responsibility of owning and operating it. You are charged with the responsibility of making the various land use and zoning changes that are also required to successfully operate the airport. And I might say there won't be significant changes without that. And so this isn't a, should you approve this amendment today, this isn't a goodbye to the process. This is hello, because you'll be living with this for the next several years as well. And at the end of the process, you all certainly will be asked to make some kind of approval. I think it's a bit early yet to prejudge that. This is an unusual process, to be sure, because we're trying to combine two very different things into one. And I think you have experienced the the tension, as we have, of attempting to do that. On the one hand, obviously, we have neighbors. The airport affects those neighbors in a variety of ways. They have expressed their concerns, and I think obviously drives their considerable interest in participating in this process. We are charged by law, both state and federal, with our responsibilities of ownership, basically, and participating in the maintenance and development of a piece of infrastructure that has national significance. It's part of the national air transportation system and obviously plays an enormous role in the regional economy. We think that the advisory group that has been attached to the IGA now fairly represents the broad range of interests that are concerned about the future of the airport. We can continue to debate that for some time, or we can move on with the process, which is certainly what we would commend to you. I know that an awful lot of the angst around this has to do with the third runway. And let me just say, we have no expectation that we will be coming to you with a proposal to build a third runway in maybe in your lifetime, although I suppose that is a
I intend to live a lot.
I was going to say, as I look up here, that may vary from one to the one to the other, but it's a long ways out into the future. And so, while it is in some respects the 800-pound elephant in the room, I would also say I don't think that, and I'm quite confident that that is not something we're going to come back to you proposing. If for no other reason than the air transportation system that serves Portland is in no position to pay for the development of a third runway today, given the extensive capacity that exists with our existing infrastructure. So I guess I would just commend to you these amendments as proposed. And ask for your support, and I'm certainly willing to answer any questions that you may have at this time.
Well, I'm just a stickler for this kind of thing, but I think it would be helpful at some point for somebody to describe what you're proposing before we vote it.
We do have Exhibit A2. Has that been passed to the rest of the commission?
They got it yesterday in your Tuesday memo.
Exhibit A2, dated June 25th.
Yeah, I've got it.
And it has the planning group, and what it does, in addition to the changes we had on it, adds representation from Clackamas, Multnomah, and Washington County, and those positions, those three positions would be nominated by the chair of each board of commissioners. So do you have A2?
Yeah, I do.
I'm very familiar with it. This was a robust public debate for months. The council had a robust public debate that led to lots of calls from the port and activists to me, and I'm just kind of pushing this, if we're going to change what was proposed and then changed by us, I'd explain what it is and why. So
okay. We did have a conversation, and I just want to be clear. This Exhibit A2, I think, to the proposed IGA is a reflection of the changes. Now, I have a version that you may or may not have. It's color-coded with all the changes on here. Commissioner, you had asked me about this question of balance versus size. And I apologize now for not having been here at the last hearing, but I think both are important. To be candid, the advisory group, before you saw anything, was the result of a considerable dialogue that occurred by all of the parties in advance of the City Council debate, including a fairly extensive process for selecting a chair and the other members. And so to suggest that someone's notion of balance wasn't important here is probably not appropriate, because balance is very, very important. Size, I suppose, is in the eye of the beholder in terms of what's too big and what works. This feels big to me, but I have a great deal of confidence in Bill Blosser, who has both been the director and the chair of the Land Conservation Development Commission and the DLCD. So he's, I think he's very capable. It'll be a facilitated process. And so perhaps, we can stand a group that is larger than might be optimal. As to the addition of the representatives of the three counties, I would say there was a time earlier in the process when that discussion was made, but frankly abandoned, in the interests of maintaining some constraints on size. But two things to keep in mind. Our own commission is appointed by county. No fewer than two members of the Port Commission shall represent each of the three metropolitan counties. So they're sensitive to that, to be sure. We have today two commissioners who come from outside the metropolitan area, one from Pendleton and one from Medford, and that's how they're accustomed to thinking about their roles and responsibilities. We are a three-county taxing jurisdiction, and just because the airport is in Portland doesn't mean that people in Washington County or Clackamas County, for example, or unincorporated Multnomah County don't have an interest in the role that it plays or in issues surrounding it. There are people in Washington County who have noise issues, associated with PDX because of the weather patterns at certain times of the year. And we do interact with the leadership of the other counties with respect to our facilities, both aviation and marine, because they do make a substantial economic contribution to those areas. So those are, I think I can say, and if someone behind me is in better possession of this, I think those are the only proposed changes in addition to those which the council approved at its last, or proposed at its last meeting.
We also proposed deleting the Department of Environmental Quality. So you added three counties.
Yeah, and I think
deleted Department of Environmental Quality.
Still the same. Correct.
It was my understanding that DEQ asked to be taken from the list.
And this version that I have here shows that. It references that. I actually thought Gil was going to be here to cover the details. So
yes, Gil is here.
Yes.
Further questions for Bill? Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
We have a sign-up sheet.
Did you want to bring staff up first, or
does staff want to add to this?
Just very briefly, Mayor, if we could. Gil Kelly, Planning Director, and with me is Jay Sugnet, the project manager. We just wanted to explain 2 points. One is that we did confirm that DEQ would prefer not to be represented on the planning advisory group, would prefer to be on the technical group. We had suggested last time language about another natural resource agency. We, in the interim, have not located another agency. So that's sort of your discretion as to whether you want to leave a slot reserved in case we do find one. The second piece is I'd like just Jay to explain really briefly the amendment so that everybody's hearing it that are in the revised document that you have that reflect your actions from the last meeting. Jay?
Great. Thank you. Jay Sugna with the Bureau of Planning. So really, since Council added the PAG list to the IGA, we felt it was important to actually reference the attachment in the body of the text. So that's why we added Section 12. And Section 12 really does three things. First, it restates the nomination process. Says that organizations will be nominating PAG members, and their appointments will be jointly made by Planning Bureau Director and also the Port Aviation Director. And I just wanted to clarify for the record that in the language, there was concern that the community raised about the replacement policy. And we wanted to be clear that the replacement policy will follow the same process. So basically, any sort of replacement, if a person stops coming or moves away, basically, the nominating organization would have to identify another person, and then Gil and Mary would appoint. So just to be clear about that. Second,
they would have to fall within the same categories.
So second, based on a lot of the questions that Council was asking on June 6th, we added some language that just makes it very clear that the decision-making process for the PAG, and being clear that it's their advisory to city and port and will help inform staff recommendations to the Portland Planning Commission, Portland City Council, and the Port Commission. And finally, along the same vein, it's being very clear that the City Council has ultimate authority to approve the legislative land use plan, and the Port Commission and the FAA have the ultimate authority to approve the PDX master plan update. And also, as Bill Blosser mentioned, even if there's one person on the PAG that disagrees, all viewpoints will be communicated to decision makers as part of the staff recommendation, and the chair, Bill Blosser, will be basically doing that for us. So just wanted to be clear about those 3 points, and if you have any questions.
Well, this does, I think Commissioner Adams was, his friendly amendment was to ensure that if there was a replacement, it was from the same group and by the group rather than another. And this seems to cover that.
Yeah.
Other questions? Thank you. How many folks are signed up to testify?
We have 6 people signed up.
Okay, please call the first 3.
Fred Stovall, Erwin Bergman, and Linda Robinson.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
My name is Fred Stovall at 3125 Northeast 52nd, the chair of Airport Issues Roundtable. Air members agree that this is a fairly balanced way to approach the thing. Numerically, if you consider the Oregon Guard as a state governmental organization, since the governor is the commander-in-chief, that would give you 9 government members. We'd have 5 commercial or business interests and 14 community members, of which 7 would be specifically Portland-focused as citizens or, in the case of AIR, an advisory group. So we find this to be a nice balanced approach, and as Mr. Wyatt pointed out, AIR did in fact, recommend this wider approach right at the first LUAC meeting when the 18-member PAG was proposed. So we're happy that we've reached a consensus and that we can press forward. We would like to see, and as Erwin Bergman will testify, that we really hope that those three county people are in fact people that have government planning, sustainable practices, land use experience, because that will really help guide this process. Thank you.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, my name is Erwin Bergman, 5330 Northeast Holman. My concern addresses the three additional positions representing the three counties. And while I do not object to it, it's the potential composition of those three. At the last meeting, a citizen brought to you our concerns about the impacts to neighborhood of the Portland Airport that caused you to agree to two additional members of airport neighbors to represent and those neighborhoods more effectively and present a balanced approach. I think at that time we felt that a proper balance was obtained. Now, with these three additional county positions, I believe a balance could be maintained if those three representatives of these three counties would represent either government agency, government functions, or represent land use and planning process interest. If they, however, represent economic interest that have to gain from the expansion or growth of the Portland Airport, then I believe the process, again, becomes very unbalanced. And so we urge you to put a stipulation in that those three county position should not represent economic interest, because really, if those three appointees are couched as activists, neighborhood activists, my question is, what would be their stake compared with airport neighbors? These outlying counties have a tiny impact of what airport neighbors are exposed to, not just noise, but pollution, traffic, and all these issues that affect and degrade the quality of life. And I would again remind you that the airport, Portland does not exist because of the airport. The airport exists because of Portland. I appreciate you considering my suggestion. Thank you very much.
My name's Linda Robinson, and I was a member of LUAC, the Land Use Advisory Committee, representing the Columbia SLU for some time. And I wanted to also say that thank you for adding the additional community positions at the last council meeting, and to restate the position that we think these three county positions are now advocating for should be government people or planning people, rather than just being open to them appointing anybody with any interest in order to maintain that balance. Obviously, size has gone out the window. I did have some concern about I understand that DEQ chose not to be involved, but we had rewritten it so that it could be some other natural resource agency, and that concern kind of goes away if we have some government planners or someone along that line. I wouldn't be as concerned. But if it's just open to them appointing anyone, I would like to see some sort of natural resource body replace the DEQ position and not just eliminate that position altogether. And then just finally, kind of for the record, the issue of the third runway, it may be way in the future, but as long as it's in the plan, we will continue to be concerned about it. So I just wanted to put that 2 cents worth in. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Next three are Allison Stoll, Corky Collier, and Mary Helen Kincaid.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 3 minutes.
Mayor and Council, my name is Allison Stoll. I'm the Executive Director of Central Northeast Neighbors. We're the Neighborhood Coalition co-located with Fire Station 12 at 4415 Northeast 87th Avenue. I am here representing our Board of Directors. Portland Airport lies on our northern boundary of our coalition, and we represent 8 neighborhoods around the airport. I just wanted to thank all of you and all of the work that has gone into making the PAG a more balanced representation of all the people that are involved. I think that you're listening to the citizens and the folks who testified and hearing all of our concerns has really brought this PAG to a more balanced representation. And as the folks who testified before asked about the 3 counties that will be added, as a person who deals with facilitating large groups of people, I think that the balance is coming together. I don't think it's going to be too large. I do think that the citizens are concerned about the voices that come on with those county seats and maintaining the balance. So if everything works out well, I think that the PAG will be just the right size and there will be many voices to be heard at the table. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Corky Collier, Executive Director of the Columbia Corridor Association. I'm here in support of the amendment. I testified a few weeks ago on this issue and asked that the PAG not be increased in size and that the balance not be changed from where it was. Well, it is less balanced now, and it has gone up. Hopefully, it's still a good, workable group. Right now, we have 6 business interests. That's if you include groups such as the military as a business interest. So it's pretty poorly balanced on the business side, but I'm relatively confident that the other groups will keep business interests in mind. In previous testimony, it was suggested that government and business vote together on a block. When I mentioned that to our board of directors at their last meeting, it took a while for the laughter to die down. When it did, I thought, well, you know, hey, maybe that's true, in which case I'd love to set up meetings with each of you this afternoon to talk about our business wish list. But if it's not true, then we need to make sure that we don't make this PAG any more imbalanced than it currently is. As I said, it can be a good working group. Environmental groups can represent business interests. Neighborhood groups can consider their local businesses. I'm not too worried about it unless it gets so out of balance that it by default becomes a platform for one interest group or another. Hopefully we're not there yet. I urge you to approve the amendment before you right now. Thanks for your time.
I'm Mary Helen Kincaid. I'm the chairperson of the Citizen Noise Advisory Council for the Port of Portland. I'm also a land use chairperson for the East Columbia Neighborhood Association and the PAG representative for the North Portland Neighborhood Coalition. I regretfully couldn't testify the last time because I was waiting for a phone call that never came, and so I didn't want to be here and have my buzzer go off in my pocket and have to run off. So what I would have said at that point in time is that I was a little bit taken aback by some of my colleagues that sit on the CNAC committee with me and also AIR members, that they didn't respect the committee members that had already been selected to being fair and even and being able to take a well-rounded approach. I don't think this is a process nor a committee that we need to take sides, and I agree with, I don't even know your name, but the man sitting next to me, that we need to be able to have a vision, and we don't need to take sides, and we don't need to say a we versus they attitude. That happens on playgrounds. I think it happens in all of our dealings, but I think we need to start the process with a very open vision. Being skeptical is really good, but I don't think we should base our actions on negative skepticism. That becomes harmful and disruptive, and this process needs to build a very good, sound foundation for a land use policy for the city and a master plan for the port, and I hope that's what we accomplish. There was a lot of conventional wisdom that was in the last testimony about neighborhood coalition, all neighborhood coalitions supporting additional neighborhood. That was not true for the North Portland Neighborhood Coalition. They were interested in neighborhood representation, but they did not formally agree to or make a recommendation. So just to set that record straight. I think it is good that 3 additional representatives were added, and I hope that when the Office of Neighborhood involvement, and Randy Leonard tonight here, but when they look at nominations, that they look at the neighborhoods that are really most affected by noise and impact, and that being Hayden Meadows, Bridgeton, and Wilkes, and that those neighborhoods are, that there's some reach out to those neighborhoods for representations. AIR has been very active and vocal in this process, and I think it's over a year and a half ago, Sam Adams met with AIR, and I was at that meeting, and I agreed to be a part of AIR's meetings. The time we discussed merging the two committees, and we decided that probably wasn't the best interest, so I made a commitment to attend their meetings. There's been one meeting since that time. I've not been included in any of their discussions, and so the representation that city folks were consulted, that representation was a consensus. I suspect that was because I might have a differing opinion, or I'm represented as having a different opinion. And just my last line was, I feel pretty good about that, because I like to think that that old cowboy saying of keep your friends close and your enemies closer kind of worked, because I can kind of keep a handle on all sorts of things, and maybe people really don't know where it is that I stand, but I try to represent all interests. Sorry.
I already always heard that was a political saying.
I heard it in an old John Wayne movie, and I've carried the little scrap of paper around in my wallet ever since. So it served me well a couple times. So, thank you.
Folks.
That's all who signed up.
Discussion?
I would be favorable to the suggestion that the county appointments be government people, since it's a government slot, and I think otherwise you might get into what we've had the pleasure of experiencing the last couple of weeks of, you know, a debate in front of the county commissioners as to whether it's going to be a business or a neighborhood person they put on. So, I mean, I don't know if it's necessary, but I like the idea of saying it. If the point of adding the three is to get the county's interest represented, then it probably ought to be a county planner or somebody like that. I haven't thought this through in great detail, but I think it makes sense.
Gil, anybody from the port want to address that?
I might invite Bill Wyatt to join me back at the table here. I understand the concern that was articulated. I think it's legitimate. I would suggest one way you might approach it is to suggest to the counties, as the Portland City Council, we'll hear Bill's response to this, that they be that their appointments be able to represent the broad and long-term interests of those counties and their citizens, whether that's getting below that and sort of handpicking what their particular skill set might be, I think is probably not where you want to go. And you're suggesting, Commissioner, that they be a county employee, as maybe I'm overinterpreting what you're saying.
We're a planning commissioner, as we're putting forward. I mean, I can't imagine the intent is to put a citizen, because we've just, I mean, yeah. You know, because now you're back into that debate. What kind of citizen?
Right.
I mean, that's.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I would just say first, I think it would be appropriate to maybe reflect some background or qualification. I don't think it would make any sense to appoint people who have no, sort of broad experience in a subject, because they're going to get overwhelmed quickly. And I think each of the chairs, no doubt, has a lot of experience with this kind of thing, because like you, they also have to appoint a lot of people to various different volunteer roles. And let's be clear, this is a volunteer role that will be a very intense activity and something they need to certainly take into consideration. Whether or not you could find a planning commissioner who'd be willing to do their planning commission responsibilities and this as well, I don't know. Whether they're fully prepared to devote a full-time, not full-time, but a substantial commitment from a county staff member, I don't know. Whether they would be comfortable with the idea of appointing people who've had some tangible experience in the subject of planning and facility development and so forth, I think would be an appropriate suggestion. I'll leave it to you to decide how comfortable you are telling other elected officials, where to get off. That's kind of their you know, it's a delicate subject, let me just say that, and not one that we have broached with them.
Well, I don't think it's really that delicate. I mean, you guys brought forward the idea that this was necessary to both to handle balance, not size, because it made it bigger. So you brought these forward to balance the committee. That has to be why you brought them forward. I can't see any other reason. So there must be something you had in mind, and you must have consulted with the county chairs or their staff before you put it in front of us. So they're...
Only to see if they're interested, and they are definitely interested.
I just can't imagine a county planning department that is interested but not enough to assign a few hours of staff time to do it.
I think for me, the a key interest is that hasn't been put on the table yet, and that is whoever's appointed actually be in a position to represent the views of the elected bodies, the county boards. I mean, that's, I think, what we're looking for here, whatever they might be. Yeah. So I'm not sure how to necessarily accomplish that, but I think the appointments, you know, we all make appointments on who represents us. I think that this particular appointments from each of the county boards were interested in actually, you know, having the conversation back and forth between this process and the decision makers there, and have enough of a familiarity with the interests of these governments to actually represent the decision makers' views on interests. That's my interest.
And we'll put the time in
and have the
and be an effective.
Well, maybe if we could clarify, because I do agree it's hard to say exactly. And certainly, if a county board member had enough interest, that would be a terrific choice. If you can imagine a chief of staff sitting on this or something like that. Maybe if we could work to clarify that the point of this is to represent the county's interest, as opposed to it's an appointment, because there's two kinds of appointments we get. To follow up on your point, Bill, we get sort of, you guys put a citizen onto this panel, it's your choice who it is, and we need somebody to represent Portland's planning interests, and then the mayor and Gil work on who that might be. So I think if we maybe just clarified that it's a county appointment to represent the county's interest, as opposed to just a county nomination, that might...
I'm fine with that.
That might solve the problem.
And one thing we could do, rather than mince the words
Fred's nodding, so I think we have a three-way. We should agreement. Let's stop there.
Yeah, rather than trying to recraft the exhibit here, I think what we could do is draft a letter on behalf of the council to the counties, just saying sort of what you're looking for.
I think that would certainly be fine. I don't need to.
Okay.
Great.
Good. Thank you, folks. Further discussion. I think we vote on the amendment.
Adams?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. This is moved to a second reading. Is that correct? And what is the date?
That'll come back on July 11th. There's no meeting next week.
But I'm willing to meet next week if the rest of you are. Just kidding.
Actually, I would too.
Okay. I think I'll spoil it and honor the country by not working on July 4th. Yeah,
really. If you all agree, you could
You're more of a patriot than
mayor.
I am.
If you all agree, you could put an emergency clause on it and pass it today.
Let's pass it today.
Do I hear?
So moved.
Second.
So now do we vote
on that amendment to add the emergency clause?
Okay, we're voting on adding an emergency clause to the amendment. Please call the vote.
I'm sorry.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Sten.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
Now you can vote on the ordinance.
Please call the roll on the amendment.
Beyond the item itself.
Excuse me, the intergovernmental agreement.
Adams.
Thank you, everyone. And I do mean everyone. It takes a whole village in this case to get this composition done.
Many villages.
Saltzman.
Thank you, Jay and Gil, and everybody else who's had a air, and everybody else who's been negotiating on this committee. I think it is kept at a fairly tractable size, and they certainly have an ambitious work agenda ahead of them. Aye.
Sten.
Well, I figure this is a good place to land, no pun intended, and I think. You know, on one hand, it can seem a little annoying to kind of work this hard to get a committee right, but I think it's an indication of how passionate people are about these issues and how important they are. And I think the fact that we worked until we got it right, it gives a much better chance that this will actually turn out to be a productive process and not the other way around. So good work. And Jay, I know you've hung in there, and thank you. Aye.
Potter.
God help you.
I appreciate all the parties. And I know that the closer you live to the airport, the more emotional and important this issue is. So I'm really pleased to see representatives of our neighborhoods from that area. And I think that this can be a good process, and I look forward to, as a council member, working with the port and this committee in developing both a long-term strategic plan as well as looking at the land use issue. So thank you all very much. Aye. Thank you. We're going to return to the regular agenda. And starting with item 770.
Proclaim July 4th through the 8th of 2007 to be the Safeway Waterfront Blues Festival Week.
I'd like to invite the Oregon Food Bank representatives to address council.
Good morning, and thank you, Mayor Potter and City Commissioners. I'm Jean Kemp Ware, Public Relations Manager for Oregon Food Bank and the Safeway Waterfront Blues Festival. I live at 3754 Southeast Woodstock Boulevard in Portland. I'm here to thank you on behalf of Oregon Food Bank and for your support for the Safeway Waterfront Blues Festival presented by First Tech Credit Union and for proclaiming July 4th and through 8th is Safeway Waterfront Blues Festival Week. I bring you warm wishes from Rachel Bristol, CEO of Oregon Food Bank, who is unable to be here today because she is at a meeting of Oregon Food Bank's Board of Directors at the same time. I'm here to invite you to the Safeway Waterfront Blues Festival at Tom McCall Waterfront Park. And as you look over the bowl, you're going to see parents with babies strapped on their backs and couples walking arm in arm, young people, senior citizens, the rich and vibrant fabric of Portland's diverse community coming together to appreciate and enjoy America's original contribution to music and to help Oregon Food Bank fight hunger because no one should be hungry. The festival remains Oregon's largest art event of the year and attracts people from throughout the world, filling Portland's hotels and restaurants, generating jobs, and creating a lively downtown. And we're told by reporters from throughout the nation that it's an anomaly in the festival world. It enjoys great success, but it's run by a charitable organization. It has a global reputation and in the music world as the best-run festival, bar none, and attracts musicians from out the world and showcasing Oregon's best. It's also has depth with workshops and films and music demonstrations to pass music, this genre, from one generation to the next. We have one kid on stage who's 12 years old and is going to be playing the blues. And it's a community tradition. To put this in perspective, a mother told us her son took his first step at the first festival, and he's now in college. This year's festival includes more than 180 performances, including Coco Taylor, Joan Armatrading, the Neville Brothers, Pine Top Perkins, who will celebrate his 94th birthday on stage on July 4th, Marsha Ball, the Blind Boys of Alabama, from Great Britain, Savoy Brown and Eric Burden and the Animals, Mavis Staples, Watermelon Slim, Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks, and much more. International artist and NEA recipient Fred Stern will create a rainbow over the Willamette River with the help of Portland City Council, Portland City Fire Station number 6, and a theater company is going to be presenting Frozen Carrots, a musical to help kids learn about hunger issues. We're going to have dances, cruises, a celebrity chef from New Orleans, Loretta's New Orleans Authentic Pralines, and, of course, the largest display of fireworks in Oregon, and even a special 20th, even a U.S. post office with a special 20th anniversary festival postmark. It's important to emphasize that the festival is Oregon's largest annual fundraiser, thanks to the support of more than 60 local businesses who underwrite festival costs and 1,500 volunteers who help run the festival. and it provides funds to help us get through the first months of the fiscal year before the holiday giving season. As noted in the proclamation, the mission is just a suggested donation of $8 and two cans of food, which provides about the equivalent of about 3 days' worth of emergency food for a family of four. The supply of food that Oregon Food Bank distributes to agencies serving people in need continues to decline due to severe decreases in USDA commodities, more than 5 million pound decrease in the last 2 years, and changing trends in the food industry. This means that the donations at the gate are more important than ever. So thank you, Mayor Potter, City Commissioners, for your continued support, and for the very magical venue that makes it all possible. And we welcome you to join us, and we also invite you to come on stage. And if you would like, we can find a place for you to announce one of our stellar Portland musicians. We can find a place that's convenient for your time and schedule. And then you'll also be receiving an invitation for a special 4th of July barbecue. So thank you again for your support, and we very much appreciate you and for your work and working with you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. The Oregon Food Bank last year distributed over 34 million pounds of food in Oregon and Southwest Washington. They do a tremendous service to our state and to low-income people who would otherwise go hungry. So I want to thank Safeway and the Oregon Food Bank and encourage people to attend the festival. I do, and it's just a lot of fun, and it's a good family entertainment. So please attend. Thank you. That's no further.
I just wanted to add thanks to the Oregon Food Bank for I'm really impressed with how world-class this event has become, and your lineup this year is just amazing. I mean, Eric Burden and the Animals. I don't know where you found them. I mean, I haven't heard of them since, I was in junior high, but I did like them. No, I just think it's really a world-class lineup, and, you know, one thing I wanted to really commend you on is how well-run the event is.
Yes.
You know, there's so many concerts where the time between bands is interminable. You know, just how long it takes to set up and take down and get the other group going. I mean, you got it down to an art, and you go from one band right to the next. So really keeps the tempo going, keeps people excited, and it's a very worthwhile cause. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Please read item 771.
Approve reappointment of Jeff Bachrach to the Housing Authority of Portland Board of Commissioners for a term beginning July 1, 2007 to expire July
1, 2011.
Commissioner Sten. Please come on up, Jeff. Mayor, I'm very pleased to recommend the reappointment of Jeff Bachrach to the Housing Authority. He's currently serving as chair, which the board determines, and doing a terrific job. The Housing Authority has a lot of work to do at all times, and I think there's been a lot of focus the last couple of years on simply the task of managing the portfolio we have, because we've done a terrific job of expanding public housing, of working on sort of market mixed income deals, and doing some very big projects like New Columbia. And so there's a lot to do. At the same time, I think Jeff is looking very hard and working in partnership with myself, the Portland Development Commission, and BHCD at what are the next steps and how do we really, I think, reconfigure our efforts and make them more effective for the next couple of years and the time ahead. And actually, I've recently had a cup of coffee with Jeff where we started to broach the subject of, okay, I think it's really time to start, although it seems completely hard to imagine, talking about how do we solve the affordable housing problem over the next 20 years? How do we get our efforts now that we have, I think, the skills, the capacity, the ability, and hopefully the will in this community to really take this issue on? And we've been working at building that capacity for a long time. I think Jeff's a key part of it. You know, how do we push our citizens and ourselves to get this to a scale where it is not a crisis sometime in our lifetime? And I think Jeff's got that kind of nice mix of vision and real-world acumen, that has a strong background in development and is making sure that the Housing Authority pays attention to the things it needs to. So I'm obviously and proud and delighted to renominate Jeff, and we'll open up the floor to Jeff to talk a little bit about his work, and would recommend this to the council.
Thank you, Eric, Mr. Mayor, City Commissioners. It's a Pleasure to be here. It's been an honor and a privilege, really, the last 4+ years to serve on HAP. And if all goes well today, I welcome the opportunity to sign up for another term there. It's an agency, since I've been there under the leadership of Steve Rudman, that really is clicking on all cylinders. It's got a staff that's remarkably committed to its mission and is remarkably competent at achieving that mission. So it makes the role of the symbolic leader that I am right now, it's very satisfying. And it's really not to my credit so much as to Steve and a great staff. I did want to take a minute or two today to just touch on one initiative at HAP with Eric as our advocate here at the council. It doesn't seem like there's much I can say or do that he's not already an incredibly effective advocate for, but I did want to touch on one initiative. It's our preservation of our public housing portfolio, because this is an initiative that we'll be coming back to you in the coming months to talk more about and probably look for some funding help from you. Very briefly, just to introduce it, and there'll be more time in the future to talk about it. One component of our portfolio is 2,500 public housing units. These are located in 38 properties around the city and county. They serve the lowest income people we serve. These are the hardest to house from a financial standpoint because their incomes are so low. 62% of these people are on fixed income. They're seniors or disabled. And it's the toughest strata to serve with housing because we have, as I said, 2,500 public housing units. These are fully federally subsidized units. We get an annual operating allotment from the federal government, from HUD, and we get an annual capital improvement fund, and they keep cutting those numbers back and back and back. And so what we've been doing at HAP for the 4 years I've been there is, you know, Band-Aid approaches, taking money out of capital for operations, and it's an unsustainable economic model the federal government has given us. Housing authorities around the country are giving up and selling their public housing because there's no way to sustain it with the funding the feds are now giving us. We don't want to do that at HAP. The cost to replace these units is far greater than the cost to save them. And so what we are doing now, just to give you a sense of the scale of what we're talking about, and we'll come back to you with clearer numbers, we get 83 cents on the dollar for the operating costs. So a dollar of operating costs, we get 83 cents from the feds, and we scramble for that other 17%. The numbers go up and down each year, but we're looking at a gap of about $2 million a year in operations to operate in the 2,500 units. On the capital side, we're just completing a detailed capital plan. It looks like, and these are rough numbers, over the next 5 years, we're going to need to spend $50 million. Which is not, it's a big number, but it's about 22,000 a unit. So it's not a huge number in terms of what it would cost to build new units. We're down to about $4 million a year from the feds in capital money. So there's gaps on both sides, and we're going to work hard on ideas for closing the gap and come back to you either in perhaps a work session or an individual briefing showing you different approaches for closing those gaps. But our feeling is we have to do it. We have to do something with our public housing. We do not want to sell it, and so there's got to be a more sustainable economic model. And that's my introduction to the substantive issue, but it is a high priority, and it's not as, quite frankly, as headline-grabbing as a New Columbia and as some of the other projects we do, but it is a part of our core mission, and we don't want to lose sight of it. So I mentioned that, and other than that, I think the relationship between HAP and the council continues to be a good one. We are always cognizant of your policies and your direction and try to always be serving it. So if there are other comments or questions, I'm happy to take up as much time as you give me or leave if you're ready to move on.
Questions from the council? Okay. I think we did have a sign-up sheet, so there may be some testimony.
Okay. There's a sign-up sheet?
We have Susan Emmons.
Okay. Please come forward.
I better stay here just to keep an eye on things. Though I would say, my education has been great the last 4 years, and one of the mentors and people who have helped educate me is Susan. She is a delight and a prize for the city.
Now you have to say nice things.
My name is Susan Emmons, and I'm the director of Northwest Pilot Project, and my address at work is 1430 Southwest Broadway. I'm here today just to say that I've been watching HAP for 22 years, and I think Jeff is doing an excellent job leading this organization. Like you, and you will really understand this, they do their work of their board of commissioners in public, and that can be very tedious at times, as you know. The minutia that advocates and other people who want to come and testify bring up, I think Jeff's been very gracious and has really encouraged public debate and really talked to the housing advocates about, you know, how he wants to get more into the policy debate and policy discussion. And that's just been very intriguing and very interesting. The other thing that's come